This is an ABC podcast.
Hello, I'm Anne Jones and this is Off Track, the ABC's nature program. At the very end of last year, bushfires tore through much of East Gippsland in Victoria, destroying homes and farms and burning through precious forests. But off the coast of East Gippsland, there's a different threat, and it's been eating its way through the region's rocky reefs and kelp forests.
It's really interesting. I'm going to explain what it looks like. If you've ever been up the bush and watch how they clear fell a forest, urchins do the same to the kelp beds.
Yeah, it looks really positive. Didn't it, Joey?
Pretty good.
Yeah, it did.
Most of the quadrants had no urchins in them. And still, not lots of kelp growth. There was up the top, but I don't know if that was already there, some of that.
I thought there was a lot of kelp, but I noticed there's a lot of that little mossy stuff growing.
Yeah.
Like lichen.
Looks really promising.
Like a rare, good result.
Off-track producer Joe Kahn is in Orbost in East Gippsland to find out why these hungry, star-shaped mouths are causing so much trouble.
It's only 7 a.m, but the temperature is already in the 30s, and there's a gentle wind blowing through the trees on Orbost's main street. On the opposite corner to the CFA is the Parks Victoria and Department of Environment office, and a boat waiting to be towed down to the Salmon Rocks boat ramp at Cape Conran.
Hey Jay, how's it going?
Hey, good.
Nice to meet you, I'm Mike.
Nice to meet you too.
Yep. Do you want to jump in the front, Jay?
Sure.
Mike Irvine is a park ranger with Parks Victoria, and he's leading the charge against the sea urchins in the nearby Beware Reef Marine Sanctuary. Beware Reef is a granite outcrop about 3.5 km off the coast of Gippsland at Cape Conran. A small part of the rock rises out of the water, and underneath the water is a rich temperate reef ecosystem home to kelp, fish, sharks, and all sorts of invertebrates. At least it was a rich ecosystem before the black spiny sea urchin arrived.
A sea urchin is an animal. They're related to sea stars and they're round balls with lots and lots of spikes. There's different types of sea urchins. The ones that have become a bit of a nuisance here are the black spine sea urchins. They're a native species, but they're traditionally a sort of a more northern species, like New South Wales species rather than Victoria and Tassie. But with just a slight increase in ocean temperatures over the last 20 years, and we're talking, you know, maybe a degree, not even a degree, that makes all the difference in terms of the way the urchins breed. If the water temperature drops below 12 in winter, that kills most of the urchin larvae. So down south here in Victoria, Tasmania, there haven't really been a popular species. There's been a few around, but not really many. But we're finding the winters now are milder, the ocean temperatures are warmer, so it's not reaching that threshold. So it means most of the urchin larvae are surviving now, and they're in plague proportions. So they move slowly over the reef and graze. If you can imagine a heap of cows in a paddock just moving through the paddock and, you know, picking out all the good stuff first. So they start off with the kelp, the nice juicy kelp which is growing on the rocks, and then once they've eaten most of the kelp, then they'll start on all the other organisms that are growing on the rocks and then keep browsing so the kelp really doesn't get a chance to grow back. And then once they've browsed everything, then they basically just hang out in their barren area and just eat enough to keep them alive, but to keep the reef pretty much bare.
When did you first become aware of the sea urchins at Beware Reef?
It was quite a few years ago, where some of the Friends of Beware Reef group, who are a volunteer group that do work out at Beware Reef and other places all around the state, they noticed some large patches of bare reef out at Beware Reef with lots and lots of urchins in them. So since then we've been developing some methods and tests to actually see what we can do to try and reduce the numbers and get the reef healthy again.
One of the members of the Friends of Beware Reef group is Don Love. Don is a fisher, diver, former teacher, and now marine educator.
Did you get lost?
I went to see a neighbour.
Oh, down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, come in.
Thank
get
you.
Out of the mozzies.
Oh, there's bed. So many.
Oh, at this time of night there is. The daytime there's not, so.
Yeah.
Don's been snorkelling and diving on Beware Reef since the early 70s, and he's witnessed how it's changed in the last few decades.
The Beware Reef, the actual rock, is the only section of the reef that is out of the water. And now it's denuded between, say, about 5 metres and almost 18 metres. It's like it's had a bowl cut sort of done to it around the edges. But it wasn't like that back in when I started in 1973. It was absolutely full of marine life, kelp. Even had giant kelp forest bed on the east side, and but over the duration, that's all disappeared. So,
can you remember when you first started seeing the urchins there?
I would think it was somewhere towards the mid 90s. I can remember there was a patch of bare rocks sort of appeared between the two wrecks of the one of the Auckland and the Ridge Park. And all of a sudden, you know, it was rock sticking out here and there, but it had weed all growing on it. And all of a sudden this patch sort of grew, and then it was insidious. And, you know, as the 90s went on, all of a sudden, you know, there used to be yellow zoanthids on these vertical walls, and all of a sudden they disappeared, and there's urchin spines in the cracks. And we thought, oh, gee, you know, what's happening here? And it wasn't until, you know, about the 2000s that all of a sudden everything was just disappearing, you know, big time. And then once, you know, well into the 2000s, it was just devastated, a lot of it, which, you know, it was a real shame.
With bare rock replacing kelp forest, there's no habitat left for animals to shelter and live in. And so those that can move away. And still, even though they've eaten all their food, the urchins persist.
It's really interesting. I'm going to explain what it looks like. If you've ever been up the bush and watch how they clear fell a forest, urchins do the same to the kelp beds. And as a designated line, you can see them moving along and they just eat everything. And behind them is just their spare rock. The thing is that the urchins at the front do better than the ones at the back. So the ones still down the back actually go into, it's almost like a starvation mode. And I've been told by the experts that you can open them up, and I think they've only got 10 or 15% of their normal living mass inside, and they virtually don't reproduce, and they just live off the smell of an oily rag. You know, they've still got their shell to protect them, but they don't do very well. So, you know, who knows, somewhere down the track they could actually eat themselves out of existence and then have massive die-offs, and I don't know whether that happens. There's only one thing I know causes that, so...
What's that?
That's fresh water. I know with another species in Port Phillip Bay, they get floods out of the Yarra, all the urchins die. Beware Reef, I've actually seen it once when the Snowy River, we had a massive flood event, and the top almost 10 metres was just muddy brown water, and it must have been fresh because when we got down, it was clear underneath, so all the fresh water stood on top. All of a sudden, there's a bit of a rock face on the northern edge of the drying rock, and there was a pile of urchins all along the edge that just dropped off the rock and died. So they don't cope very well with fresh water. That is an effect that can create a bit of havoc to them.
But besides that, we don't really know much about what will knock them down.
Oh, blue gropers, the big ones will eat them. For example, if you tipped an urchin upside down on the bottom, the spines aren't as deep, and the blue gropers come up and they absolutely hit it hard and split it, and they'll chew it up, spines and all, and the spines coming out of their mouth, they're amazing. Big crayfish, they'll tip them over and they'll punch it where their mouth is, and they've got little claws that they actually just pull all the innards out, because if they break them apart, all the fish come in and just eat them clean in a very, very quick time. So poor old crayfish is big enough, but the fish would dart in and get his teeth. But the population of crayfish out at Beware Reef's crashed in the last 20 years, probably through divers and over potting, and also crayfish like cold water. So, you know, it's this cumulative effect of man-made sort of influences. You know, known predators, well, it's open slather.
Don has conducted some of his own experiments removing urchins from the reef and quickly realised that getting rid of a few patches of urchins here and there wasn't enough to keep them at bay or to allow the reef to recover. Mike Irvine from Parks has used the knowledge of people like Don, as well as abalone fishers in the area who have also removed urchins, to come up with a strategy for urchin removal at Beware Reef.
So the Big Barren, a few years ago, we tried some culling with volunteers and park staff. And what we found, although we culled a few urchins, when you're battling with 25,000 urchins over half a hectare, it's a big job. And we found that we weren't really effective. And although we got, I think we got about 10% over a couple of days, we've got to the point now where we had some diving contractors go through in December, and we picked out the largest barren area, urchin barren at Beware Reef, and the contractors treated about half a hectare, which was about 25,000 urchins that they culled over 3 days. And that reduced the numbers dramatically. The survey we did before they did the cull, we were getting about 7 urchins per square metre over the area on average. And the survey we did a few days after the cull, we were getting about 1 per square metre. So we're hoping that 1 per square metre is about the threshold where the reef can recover and the urchins aren't going to dominate. So the idea of today's survey was 11 months on, with no intervention in between, we were keen to see what the density of urchins was and if they're all back strong again, or if the numbers have stayed down quite low. And that would tell us whether it's worth continuing this sort of work, or we throw our hands up in the air and give up or try something else.
This is Off Track. I'm Joe Kahn. And I'm about to hop on a boat out to Beware Reef in East Gippsland. It cost about $20,000 for the culling at the end of 2018, and today Mike and his colleague Joey are going out to see whether it was all worth it. At the boat ramp, you can tell they're excited, not just to see how the reef is looking, but to be finally having a dive after a string of bad weather postponed the trip.
All right, we'll chuck the boat in.
Joey carefully reverses the boat trailer into the water.
Yeah, a little closer to the jetty side if you can.
It's pretty flat, even though the wind has picked up a bit. And every gust of wind means less chance of getting in the water, so they're keen to get going.
This can get a little bit slippery too, Joe, so just be careful. Yep!
I think we're just about good now.
Clearing up. Okay, everyone good? And I'll get the motor in. Yeah.
It's only a short trip to Beware Reef, but the exposed section of rock is so small and flat that you can't actually see it until you're less than 100 metres away. We motor up to the sheltered side of the reef, and Mike points out where the dive will be.
So where the urchins are is just on this side of the reef here. So we want to anchor at this end of the barren. There's a bit of wreckage from an old shipwreck from the late 1800s down there, so we'd normally try and anchor on the...
Is that lots of seals in the water over there?
It is lots of seals in the water, yeah. And there's some on the rocks too, just behind those cormorants. All right, chuck it there, mate.
With the boat anchored, some of the seals lazing in the water swim over to check us out, their heads popping up and disappearing and reappearing somewhere else, as if they're expecting us to start a game of whack-a-mole.
So sitting on top of the reef in the sun, because it's a nice, warm, sunny day today, there's, probably about 15 Australian fur seals, and there's probably about at least 20 in the water, with their flippers sticking up in the air, capturing a few rays.
Looks like a pretty nice life.
It does look like a nice life. And you've also got some cormorants sitting on top of the rock with their wings out, sort of drying, and quite a few terns, and they look like mostly crested terns sitting on top there.
Mike and Joey start to set up their dive gear and go through the dive plan.
What we're going to do, wait to go. So what we want to do is get 30 survey quadrants within that area to see how successful the cull was from December last year, so it's about 11 months.
Mike will also take photos of each quadrant so they can count the number of urchins in them and then compare that to the previous surveys.
I guess I'm hoping to see some new kelp growth on the rocks and maybe some signs of other things as well. There's heaps of smaller bottom-dwelling sharks down here. They're really cool. So we get wobbegongs, Port Jacksons, draftboard sharks, mainly Port Jacksons and draftboards, and cat sharks and skates and rays. And then the Friends of Beware Reef, a volunteer group, were diving out here. It was well over 10 years ago now, and a great white serpent a few times, so we don't want to see him today. I sort of do and I sort of don't. I'd like to see it and get some photos and come up and go, that was amazing, but yeah. I'm in a dry suit, so I don't think it'd look that good inside if I saw a big white shark swimming past me. I'll just push Joey in the way or something. Joey's good to go. Yeah,
I just want to pull off.
Yeah, jump in, mate. We're just waiting for the other boat to turn up, so we're all geared up, and it is quite warm, so Joey's just having a little dip to cool off through before he overheats. We don't want him overheating. He gets cranky when he overheats. So. Yeah, I'm good to go.
And over they go. Except for the sound of the water slapping against the boat and a few noises from the seals and birds on the rock, it's quiet on the surface. But underneath the water, it's another story. This is the sound of Beware Reef. This isn't what it would have sounded like 40 years ago when Don started diving here. And it's not what it would have sounded like last year when the rock was a barren moonscape. This is the sound of Beware Reef in recovery mode. There's plenty of life down there. The clicking and clacking of crustaceans, mollusks moving their way over the rock, fish scraping at the algae. By the time Mike and Joey resurfaced, the wind has shifted and picked up, and it feels like it's gone from 30 degrees to over 40 in a matter of minutes.
Excuse me.
Not great conditions for a second dive, or for sitting on a boat, for that matter.
Well, go and talk to the others and see what they want to do. It looks really good, by the way. We might head back. So we did 16 out of 30. That's looking awesome, like really good. Yeah, okay, we'll meet you back in the ramp.
Wow, there's that 40 degrees.
But yeah, it looks really positive. Didn't it, Joey?
Pretty good.
Yeah, it did.
Most of the quadrants had no urchins in them. Well, that means we've got to come out another day, Joey. Spewing, eh?
If there's one thing divers never complain about, it's having to do more diving. Even though the trip was cut short and they didn't get all the quadrants done, Mike reckons the reef looks like it's recovering.
As soon as I started doing the first couple of quadrants, I had a smile on my face because we were getting hardly any urchins in those quadrants. We got just over half of the day's work done in that first dive, which is great. But even from
just looking through on the camera that those quadrants and how few urchins there were in there, I'm quite confident that what we did was well worthwhile, and I think we'll be closer to that one per square metre, which is what we had straight after the cull 11 months ago. And also noticed a fair bit of growth on the reef, so what we were looking at before was just bare rocks and bare boulders, and in some spots that the kelp was coming back quite well, and other growth on the rocks as well that had been grazed previously. So
what is the recovery process? If you can remove the urchins, what's the first thing that will start to happen?
So there's sort of establishing species on the reef which will start to grow back straight away, and kelp is one of those. So what I saw was lots of small kelp, you know, just a couple of inches long, growing off the reef, and then also layers of hydroids and other types of algae, like encrusting algae and other things like that, which were starting to grow. And just from a close look at a couple of the close-up photos that I did, there's lots of different species growing back on the rock.
How long does it take for kelp to grow, like some of those bigger species of kelp?
Some of the bigger ones go really fast. Like, they can grow a metre or so in a year in really good conditions. So we could find kelp coming back quite healthy in some spots. That's what we're hoping. And even some of the plots we did, the kelp was like a metre long in some of those. I just need to go back and work out if that did have some kelp beforehand in the last survey, or if that was part of the very bare area. But I'm really confident that what we did was quite successful, and the numbers we're looking at, without having done exact counts yet, are down the really low end of what it was straight after we did the cull. So for me, that's really promising, and that's done the bigger patch out at Beware Reef, and got that reef starting to come back, and the urchins have stayed away. So we'll have to do a little bit of follow-up work on that over the next couple of years, but we can move on to other smaller patches out at Beware Reef, which generally is in pretty good shape. But if we can get those other patches over the next couple of years, I think I'm quite confident we can recover it to what it was with not too much effort, and it's going to be well worthwhile.
You know, it's funny how when it disappeared, it snuck up on you. So we knew something was happening because it was all these patches, but we sort of got ambushed. And it's now, as I'm growing old, and think, you know, oh, you remember when there was big wads of kelp there on the east side, and you could swim through it like little canyons, and there was crays and stuff there, and the old people's memories, you know, oh, it used to be like this. And not to say it won't happen again. Everything changes, and, you know, it can change. Something else can happen, and the waters get really cold, so who knows? But you never know what the future holds.
That evening, after a day on the boat in 41 degree heat, Mike got the call letting him know he was needed for fire duty the next day. A fire near Buchan had flared up and air support was needed. Looking back on that hot, windy day, it turns out that was just the start of what would be a horror bushfire season in East Gippsland and all over the country. But there is some good news at Beware Reef. Before the Salmon Rocks boat ramp was closed due to the fires, Mike and the crew managed to get out to the reef again and finish off those survey dives. I spoke to him on the phone and he said the rest of the survey was even more positive, and the urchin numbers have stayed down since the cull in December 2018. They've also sent out another lot of commercial divers to do more culling and are planning to work on other patches around Beware Reef before looking for the next urchin barren location.
Today's Off Track was reported and produced by Joe Kahn, who didn't fall over or overboard, but did have a near miss with a tree branch.
Once I get 10 metres away from Joey and the rope goes tight, plonk. Ooh. Whoa, that one just about got us.
That was lucky.
I'm Ann Jones, and remember to meet me here at the same time next time, because that's when I'll take you somewhere else. And for more on sea urchins, why don't you head to the Off Track podcast feed, where we've put a special episode of Off Track all about sea urchin sound.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.